Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Let's do a little broadcasting 101. Okay? So, what you listen to is a guy who is, I consider myself pretty good at doing the old interviewing thing. I have had a lot of help along the way, and I do have people I've patterned my game after. But I think, like, what we do and how we do it, there's a bit of an art to it. I think Dan Patrick is an artiste, but again, his radio show is different than when he's been at the podium for the Super Bowl, right? And things, you got people in your ear, you got time constraints, you got to get certain people in. There's things you can't really ask about, et cetera, et cetera. Every interview is different. Last night, the New England Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills. It wasn't a dominating performance. Bills had the ball, a chance to win late, ball in the red zone, and Josh Allen could not get the ball, could not matriculate the ball down the field enough where they lost, what was it, 14 to 10? Right? And they had just missed a field goal just, you know, by a couple inches on the previous possession because of the wind, where a ball that looked like it was going in swung wide to the right. That field goal goes in. They kick another field goal. They win the game. And the Bills still don't cover. And they still don't hit the over. But at least they win the game. So after the game, you look down the stats like, wait, the Patriots threw the ball three times? They had two completion. One was a little screen pass. And one? Wow. So at the podium, you got to ask guys about it, right? It's the question everybody wants to know. Here's Jerry Sullivan's been covering the team for years. Here's the question from Jerry Sullivan, the answer from Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde.
40 years since a team has won a game running that few times in a game. I mean, passing that few times. Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind of
boy, what are we doing, that? Bro?
What kind of question is that?
All right.
I think we keep 7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. We'll remember that.
Oh, we'll remember that. Like, I thought Micah Hyde was like, look, we answer your questions every, when he's walking out, I was like, we answer your questions every week. Like, that was uncalled for. I don't think the question itself in terms of what he was trying to get to was wrong. But look, there's a tactful way to ask the question and get Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer to say, that was embarrassing. Right? There's a way to get there. So when I was at ESPN, there's a guy named John Sawatsky. John Sawatsky is Canadian, eh? And he teaches like a master class. He actually was on our contract there and worked there and was like our interview specialist. And among the tips, you know, you don't ask doubleheaders. Right? Do you know what a doubleheader is? No, not in baseball. Doubleheader is, Micah, why did you guys, you know, what was it like to play in this weather, and did it help you because you knew they weren't going to throw? Like, that would be a doubleheader. And the logic behind it is, if you ask two questions, they don't have to answer either. They can go their own way, or they answer the one that they want to answer and they don't answer the other one. So you don't ask a doubleheader. You ask open-ended, neutral questions. Who, what, when, why, where, how. But one of the tricks that frankly, Larry King used to, and he would get away with it at times. But it's actually the wrong way to get the best answer. Again, this is, and if you take this like course, you watch video on it. Larry King, were you shocked by what you saw? Larry, I was shocked by what I saw, right? You're planting a word in somebody's mind to try and get them to say it. And sometimes it works. Right? But that's called using a trigger word. And oftentimes what happens is who you're interviewing actually responds to the trigger word and not to the question. And that's what happened here. Like they kind of gave a little bit of a pretty good answer or whatever. Like, look, we only gave up 14 points. They had one big run. We got some stops. Whatever. Had you simply asked, like, guys, no team had, and yeah, you can do the statement of fact, no team's won with that few passes in 40 years. What's your reaction to being the defense that loses that game? That's a fair question. And then they say, if Micah Hyde says, look, Ben, three passes, it's kind of embarrassing. Now, embarrassing becomes the headline. But you can't say, were you embarrassed? How embarrassing was it? Because then all anybody reacts to is the embarrassed. They don't even hear anything else. They didn't hear it's been 40 years. They don't care. Right? Simply embarrassed. Because everybody takes those trigger words and it triggers a lack of trust with the media. Oh, we'll remember that. We'll remember that. Because it's embarrassing, right? There's not anybody in that defense isn't walking in like, dude, really? We lost to a rookie quarterback who threw the ball three times? Come on, man. That's kind of embarrassing. Either kind of or is embarrassing, but you can't ask embarrassing in the question because all they respond to is the embarrassing. That puts them on the defensive, and it actually kills the interview. Am I making sense, Jay Stu, in terms of the trigger word? Did you ever heard that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that there was the players, you have them at the very wrong time to ask a question like that. But I don't think you even ask it that question that way on a Tuesday, right? I mean, time and place for sure, but I think that's an inappropriate way to ask that question at any point, correct?
Just in that way, yes. It's not about appropriate or inappropriate. It's just that's not how you ask the question because you're not going to get any response to the question. You get response simply to the word, you know, too embarrassing. That's what happens. Buyer, I mean, I'm not wrong thinking it is embarrassing to lose to a team that has a rookie quarterback completes three passes, right? Like that's on some level there is, but you can't ask it in the way in which they asked it.
I it's a very, very strong word. And I was just even trying to think of you know, being here and the relationship that the players and the reporter had. If I did an update that maybe I made a mistake or two and John Ramos said to me, are you embarrassed by that update that you just did? I'd be very mad at John, even though we had a working relationship and I've known him for more than a decade to even have that word in there. Like, I understand that it clouds everything else, but it's just, man, that's a strong word when you know, put your heart and soul into what you try to do, and it is performance-based. And I don't want to say that they had a bad night, but, yeah, that's just a bad word to use. I mean, it's you could ask what their emotions were after seeing New England run for, you know, 46 times for 220-some-odd yards. But to put that emotion in there, you know, you could have been like, you guys ticked off or you guys, you know, anything. But embarrassed is just a strong word.
It is a strong word. It is embarrassing, though, right? Like, you know,
I mean,
again,
Damian Harris had like 60 of those yards on, you know, on one run. And so, you know, breaks a level. And to their point, New England scored 14 points. I mean, it's.
I thought they actually answered the question. They were like, no, we actually got some stops. They had one big run, right?
Mm-hmm.
One big run. And it's really hard to not call out your offense. You're like, you know, the offense didn't exactly help us out. We
sure.
Missed a field goal.
Yeah.
You know? But I do think that it's fair to say, like, if you look down today at the box score, you're like, wait, they lost to a team who had completed two passes and threw three at home? That's embarrassing. I don't think it's actually as strong. It's strong to ask somebody if you're embarrassed. It's not strong. I don't think it's all that wrong to be embarrassed.
Yeah, I think that's a difference, right? I think the columnist could make the conclusion that it was embarrassing, and a player could actually offer that up, but to ask it in a question, that's right. The crux of the problem.
Well, that's the whole thing, is you have to allow somebody's... This is what Larry King used to do, the late Larry King used to do. Were you shocked by what you saw? Like, and then they'll just go like, no, Larry, I wasn't shocked. Or, yeah, I was shocked. Instead, what was your reaction to what you saw? Larry, I was shocked. Like, that's really the way to get to it. Instead, you're trying too hard to get an answer. They'll give you the answer. It may not be the one you want, but they'll give you the one that comes to their mind. I don't know, man. It's kind of embarrassing, but you know, like the truth is, like if you look at the stats, it's embarrassing. But the truth is, they just had one run, and the rest of the time we got stops. It was really hard and windy out there, and they schemed it up. Refs were letting them get away with a little something. I don't know. Yes, John Ramos.
You know, I've always called, the last couple of years, I've always called what I've seen in the NFL as a mattification of the NFL, which is, you know, going for it on 4th and 28, you know, because that's what you would do in a Madden game. And it's gone kind of haywire and out of control a lot of times. I mean, Detroit went for it on 4th down and 2 at their own 30-yard line, up by 2 points. So, I mean, you know, whatever. But a lot of times our reporters, they've seemed to mattification themselves as well in these type of questions that they want to kind of make things happen or get something going, get some. I would have to ask the reporter. I mean, did that bother you? Did that question? I mean, he might not have even cared what we're all talking about today, whether or not we thought it was a good question or a wrong question or a bad question or at the wrong time. Maybe he don't care. Maybe he's like, hey, man, that's the way I ask questions. That's the way it's going to be. And so, hey, I think if he has no problem with it, and it sounded like they were going to ice him out a little bit. Is that what the point was at the end? Like, we'll remember that? Like, they're going to ice him a little bit later on if he has any other questions? Or am I reading
right,
too much
I mean,
into
look,
it?
Look, that's the, no, but I mean, that's the problem with NFL players is it's like, this is a problem with NBA players. NBA players are super sensitive. You ask them a question, oh, well, I won't talk to you. Why? I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, right? Like it's I don't think it was a good way to ask the question. I think it was a bad way to ask the question. But I also think that's like, okay, if we're being reasonable, saying you play 50 snaps on defense, right? So, okay, I'm playing 50 snaps on defense. Are you going to do something wrong, make a mistake, one or two of those snaps? Okay. So if he asks 50 questions as a reporter, you're not allowed to ask the stinker, right?
For sure.
I'm like, I don't understand. Like, and I don't know Jerry Sullivan, but I'm sure he's covered the team for years. And, you know, like, I'm sure there's an element. And so, like, if you're a player, you don't like demand an apology. Like these guys want you to like apologize, suck up to them. Like, no. Sorry, man, that's a bad question. Should have asked in a different way. Okay, we're good. Let's move on. Like that's how it should be. Just like as a player, like, you know what? I took the wrong angle. I was in the wrong coverage. I got confused. Like, all right, you know, it's a lot like the touchdown run. Like I've seen a lot of breakdowns of the touchdown run and it's, one, it was very well blocked. Two, is a great read. And three, there's like two guys that take the wrong angle. It's a different play if you don't. That's how sports works. It's literally that you take one wrong angle, you can give up a touchdown. So
two wrongs don't make a right in this scenario. I believe that the using of the word embarrassing is more egregious than Micah Hyde's response to it. Not saying that Micah Hyde's response was, you know, I approve of it, but in the grand scheme of things, I think using the word embarrass is just, these guys have a working relationship, you know.
Right. Look, I don't think if Micah Hyde, that's it. If he just kind of chides him in the response, you know, but if you then ice the guy out, like we ain't gonna talk to you because you asked a bad question. Like, all right, come on.
Yeah, which we don't know if they've done or you know will do. I don't think so. By the way, to your point of how Hyde said as he was leaving the podium, it seemed that maybe he had some remorse or gave clarity on, like, hey, we talk to you every week, as he said. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I just using the word of, especially if the reporter's allowed a one-off mistake, then maybe, you know, in a conditions where there are 30-mile-per-hour winds and it's snowing and, you know, you have no idea what's going off. Maybe they need a, you know, maybe they need a break in that scenario.
Maybe you need a timeout. Maybe you need to take a timeout, Jerry. That's what it is. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Steelers safety Minkah Fitzpatrick was asked if he thinks the Steelers have figured out Lamar Jackson. Wait till you hear his answer.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, I always think this is funny, right? Like, we always kind of shoot the messenger, right? But Jeremy Fowler works for ESPN, covers the NFL, and he shared that he had surveyed a bunch of different coaches, and he said that one defensive coach said he thinks the league is going to figure out Lamar Jackson this year. So Jeremy Fowler's not saying the league figured him out. Jeremy Fowler's relaying what one coach in the league had to say. What he said was, quote, I think, and he said this on a radio show, I think the questions that some teams have is if they get behind, can Lamar throw 40, 50 times and win games, bring him back with his arms? Bring him back with his arm. There was comments from a defensive coach in the NFL that felt like the league had figured him out. Minkah Fitzpatrick played for the Dolphins, traded to the Steelers. Steelers are a rival of the Ravens. They just beat the Ravens. Obviously, a two-point conversion was no good, and so they won 20-19. Here's Minkah Fitzpatrick on if the Steelers have figured out Lamar Jackson.
I don't think anybody will ever be able to figure Lamar Jackson out. The type of player that he is and the problems that he causes for teams, it's nothing that you could just figure out. You know what I'm saying? I think we play well against him because we play him twice a year. We have kind of a beat for, you know, how he plays and what he likes to do. This is everybody doing their job up front, you know, keeping him in the pocket, in the back end, not letting any balls going over our head and anything that's, you know, thrown in front of us, coming up and tackling us. So it's just a team effort in regards to, you know, limiting their big play ability.
There are a lot of people around the league that I speak to that are a little slick. They say this might be the year that everyone figures out Lamar Jackson. There's this sort of feeling right now. He can definitely prove that wrong, but I think there's a little bit of pressure on him. Those were the comments. Okay, so let's look at the reality of it. How has Lamar Jackson played recently? Not great, right? And for a guy who's been otherworldly, now he's not the only one who's had great seasons, and there have been, you know, some moments where you're not. I mean, Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago was so-so. Last year, otherworldly. He's been really good with a couple exceptions this year. Lamar Jackson this year, okay, has 16 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. And remember, They survived his two picks against Minnesota. You go back to when they lost. This is the last five games. They lose to Cincinnati 41-17. He's 15 of 31, 257, one touchdown. Most of those yards relate. They beat Minnesota in a furious comeback. He did throw two picks. Against Miami, it doesn't even matter the numbers, 26 of 43, touchdown interception. They were bad. They scored 16 points to beat Cleveland, and they won despite four interceptions. And he was okay this week. 253 yards, one touchdown, one interception. They lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, he led them on a comeback late. Like, I don't... We take it as, like, some defaming some, basically, I think what happens is people who are defenders of Lamar, they want to get on the platform and say that he's definably great, always great. Great players can have bad years. Teams, leagues can figure out what you do, and then you have to evolve and improve. But I mean, you know, help me out here. How is it wrong? He wasn't even great when they beat the Chargers. They were so far ahead. He threw two picks. It didn't hurt him. He has had an incredible career so far. This has been his most average year. Throwing the football, at times there have been remarkable performances. The Indy comeback was spectacular. The Chargers win was outstanding. He hadn't been good since. Chris Sims is our guest, NBC Sports NFL analyst. What's your reaction to what we saw last night in Buffalo?
Well, I mean, come on, amazement. I mean, there's two things that amaze me. First off, that a team won in the year 2021, throwing the ball three times, right? And then, really, that team also so scared to kick, punt the ball, throw the ball into the bad wind. And then also you got like, oh, hey, Josh Allen, doesn't matter to him. We got to keep throwing lasers, and he threw lasers into hurricane winds all night long. I think those two things were both amazing. I don't think the telecast made a big enough deal about the fact that, wait, one team wasn't throwing it, and then we were talking about the elements, and there was a quarterback with such great physical talent and arm that he was throwing 50-yard lasers down the field that got dropped and then throwing on the run into the wind 30-yard lasers. So I found both of those kind of amazing from last night.
Was it a mistake for Buffalo to throw the football?
No, I don't. I don't think so at all. I mean, they have no chance of running the football. That's for sure. That's not what they are. It stunk for them, the fact that, you know, a windy night like that, that of course was, you know, a big issue for them to have to deal with. I honestly think, you know, they didn't open it up early enough. I think they were a little too conservative early, thinking, wait, we don't want it to ruin the game. And I think once they realized, wait, we have to have him throw the ball a little bit, you saw that he could control it. You know, I'm sure it wasn't easy on the receivers, but, man, perfect spirals. You know, put a long touchdown pass on the money to Stephon Diggs, which I'm sure wasn't easy to adjust to. But, hey, this is the problem with Buffalo. It's one-dimensional. It's all Josh Allen. You could see it's not great talent on the offensive side of the ball. It's Diggs and Allen. That's it. Defensively, it's really good. They play hard. You know, there is talent. But as I told you, I think, last week a little bit, they're undersized. It's a small front seven. And when they have to play teams like the Titans, the Colts, or the Patriots, man, they have to overplay the run to such an extent that it really compromises them. Honestly, Doug, as the game went on, you know, the fact that New England wasn't throwing the ball just a little bit, I thought started to hurt them too, because I was like, what, there's 10 guys within 7 yards of the line of scrimmage. A play-action pass or a bootleg is going to gash them, but – you know, Bill Belichick, I'm not going to question him too much. He seems to know what he's doing.
Okay, so help me out here. Can the Patriots win in the playoffs? The playoffs, it's a different level. I know you won last night, and there's going to be weather, especially if they're at home in the playoffs. But can this team win in the playoffs?
I don't see why not. I don't. You know, I know I've said to you, and I've really kind of been like for the last 5-6 weeks on my podcast and Pro Football Talk going, this is 2001 all over again. It's the best defense in football for my money as far as versatility, scheme, you know, talent at the right positions. And then offensively, I do think it's an elite running game. I mean, elite. It's up there with the best in football. And I think you couple that with the fact that they certainly seem to have learned to play the New England way. They don't make many mistakes here over this winning streak. And Mac Jones, again, you know, I know not last night, but all the other weeks up to this, has shown growth in all areas, and especially the taking advantage of what's there down the field area. So, yeah, I mean, I have no bones about it. New England is the best team in the AFC. It's just not going to be sexy, and people got to get used to that. It's going to be, you know, 20-14. It's going to be 24-17. That's what they are. That's what they were to start their dynasty, and they're kind of back to that, you know, once again.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Chris Sims. He joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, there will be people that will say, well, look, the Chiefs are winning. The Chiefs have they're in first place in a tougher division. Why aren't you as bullish on the Chiefs? How's Pat Mahomes playing?
Well, I mean, last week was, you know, average. That's all I can really say. You know, I have faith in their defense. Their defense, you know, I think I told you since they lost to Tennessee 27-3, I think from that moment, even that game, I think I came on the week after saying, you know, the defense did pretty good. It's the offense that's an issue, you know. But then 20 points against the Giants, 13 points against the Packers, 19 points against the Cowboys. I mean, the only time they've looked good over the last month and a half was against the Las Vegas Raiders. So I certainly have issues with their offense. Again, it's gotten a little bit better, but not to where I go, oh, wow. And then again, you saw, like, the disease of stupidness rear its ugly head again last week, whether it was, you know, Tyreek Hill not being able to catch balls, Brian Pringle having a short post down the middle that's going to bring them down to the 5 or 6 yard line, if not score a touchdown. He drops it. Then it's, you know, Mahomes missing throws that I go, man, my old high school quarterback should hit that, let alone Patrick Mahomes. So that's where it's just frustrating with Kansas City. And I don't know. Maybe this is just what it is. I think that's what we got to accept it for now. You know, week 14. I think that's what they are this year, just an ugly offense with a defense that's improved, physical, and in your face. And my thing, Doug, what I'll say, just my pet peeve about that game against the Broncos, like, everybody stop the narrative of the last 3 years. Oh, you got to score touchdowns to beat the Chiefs. Why? Why? They scored 13 points. They scored 19 points, 20 points, like we've talked about. Vic Fangio, you drive 96 yards, kick the freaking field goal down 10-3. Field goals can beat the Chiefs. That was stupid on their part. But I do like what I see from the Chiefs' defense, Doug. There's no doubt about that, and somewhat hopeful for the offense. But I think we just need to come to terms that this might be what it is.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so I was bullish on the Niners. Then they go up and lose to the Seahawks. Now, they always lose in Seattle since Pete Carroll's been there. But is there something I'm missing on why the Niners aren't better?
Well, I think you know, the Debo factor and the fact that he's the most important non-quarterback to his team in all right now. It's him and Jonathan Taylor. So the fact that they didn't have him, they didn't have Fred Warner, you know, Pete Carroll and Ken Norton Jr., they do seem to have a feel for, you know, the Shanahan offense to a degree. But, man, the game's 17-7, and then it's two roughing the passer penalties and a good pass by Russell, and it's a touchdown by Seattle before the half, and then it's the fumble on the kick return, and then it's, okay, yeah, you get the ball back, but then you get a safety off of the turnover, so that hurts you, followed by a bad Jimmy G interception. So they kind of got back into, like, the disease they had about 4 or 5 weeks ago, too, where it kind of just screwed the game up. I mean, of course, letting a punt go for a 75-yard touchdown on a fake punt. I'm not giving up on the Niners yet, but they do seem to have that little disease, a little bit like we talk about with Kansas City, where every time you think things are kind of going the right way, they find ways to screw it up. And there's a difference to me, too. People go, well, maybe this team caused that. And I want to go, hey, there's a difference between, like, whoa, this team's being physically overwhelmed and now they're messing things up, as compared to, wait, they're doing whatever they want and then they mess it up. And that's what I look at for that game from last week. Disappointing for them, certainly, but hopefully they can rebound. I'm not giving up on them, long story short, Doug, not yet.
Have you given up on the Chargers?
Well, the Chargers, like, I don't know what to think of them. You know, I don't. I don't think they're a great football team. I think that they're a good football team that matches up well with, you know, certain teams in the AFC. But, you know, again, yes, in that game there, somebody was calling me. On that game there, they never stopped Cincinnati either. It was a little bit of Cincinnati messing things up, whether it was the strip sack fumble. Jamar Chase going to catch a 60-yard bomb down the sideline, tips it in the air to get intercepted. So, again, I like the Chargers, but am I sold as them as a Super Bowl-caliber team? No. playoff wild card team, sure, I'll say that. But I still think like the Colts, who are outside looking in right now, are better than the Chargers, in my opinion.
I like the Colts a lot. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I can't explain 2 weeks ago that, you know, the loss to was at Minneapolis. Okay. That they should have had that. I felt like should have had that game won.
Right.
But I'm with you. I'm with you on Indy. Okay, last team, and then we got to run. Is Tua good? Are they just playing? Like, how have they gone from they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson to now they're winning some games?
Well, they just gone all in to make it work for Tua. That's the biggest thing I think I come in with. First off, the defense is on fire. I mean, them and the Patriots. I don't know if there's two defenses playing better football over the last month than the Dolphins and the Patriots. You know, offensively, where I got to give George Gotsi and some of their offensive guys credit is they've just, hey, you can win with Tua. This is what we've always said. You just have to do it a certain way. You know, you go back and last week, the week before that, you look at where he throws the ball. I mean, they just designed 9 million ways for him to throw the ball 5 and 10 yards over the middle. You know, it's speed sweeps. They kind of stretch you out horizontally, and then they look for little holes in the middle of the field that fit Tua and his ability, where he's got quick release, he's got a few different arm angles, and he's accurate anywhere from like 10 to 15 yards down the middle of the field. You know, so you can win that way. It's just hard. And of course, you're going to play some defenses that are going to be able to match up and take that away. And then you go, well, now can he make throws to win us those games? And that's where I don't know. You know, but good defense, run the ball, you know, high percentage passes. Yeah, Tua can make that work along with the way they're playing right now. And I think that's why it's working there in Miami.
Has the league figured out Lamar Jackson?
I don't want to say. I don't think it's figured out. I don't. You know, Lamar has not played his best necessarily the last few weeks. He did a lot of good things in this Pittsburgh game. Yeah, he missed a few throws and had a few moments. But it's like we've always talked about, Doug. They were built to dominate in the run game. They got injuries on the O-line. They don't have a special tailback. You know, and their pass game, it's solid, but it's nothing special. And I mean that not just because of Lamar Jackson. I mean because I just watched the film of Pittsburgh's defense against Baltimore and go, I mean, the plays are kind of boring to me. They're kind of, okay, yeah, see that play. Pittsburgh's seen that play 50 times this year. You know, so there's never anything where I look at in the pass game to go, oh, wow, that's a good idea. Whoa, I like what they're doing this week. It's kind of the same formula week after week, and if the run game doesn't work, you know, some of the issues in the pass game kind of rear its ugly head.
Chris, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Doug. Be good, buddy.
That's NBC Sports NFL analyst Chris Sims joining you. I'll give you my top three Super Bowl matchups for this year next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio.
Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Downtown Santa Claus. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, or usually an hour earlier, but whatever, we get to some of the topics of the day. We do so by playing a game.
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan
Byer.
What do you got?
Doug, the game today is...
Rank 'em.
All right, Doug. You started off the top of the show saying that people need to be talking about a Pats-Bucks Super Bowl. Rank your top three Super Bowl matchups that you'd like to see in Super Bowl 56.
Well, that would be number one.
Okay.
That'd be number one. Number two would be, I would love to see, I'm torn between two different ones that I'm, I know people would say, I'd like to see another matchup of Tom Brady versus Pat Mahomes. Like, yeah, I don't know, do they? Really? I would like to see the Baltimore Ravens take on the Arizona Cardinals, right? I think that's, again, that's to me. Or now the Baltimore Ravens to the Dallas Cowboys, right? Then you have two dynamic younger quarterbacks, right, kind of going at it. I do think that the Cardinals, it just doesn't have the following. So I'll go Ravens, Cowboys at three, Buccaneers, Chiefs at two, and Brady versus Belichick at one.
Oh, I thought maybe we'd get a Packers Chiefs. You know, we haven't had that Mahomes Rodgers showdown. Because,
can I change?
Sure.
Can I change?
Yeah,
sure.
Go ahead.
Number two is Packers Chiefs. Number three is Buccaneers Chiefs rematch. I do think that there's like, hey, we ever get Lamar against the Cowboys, that'd be really, or Lamar in that Super Bowl would be really cool. Just because he's like a video game, even if I don't think they're going to get there.
Doug, rank your top four when it comes to the Heisman finalists. The four were named yesterday. What would your ballot be if you submitted one?
That's a great question. Okay, so again, this is if I were submitting a ballot for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, with these four finalists.
Right, right. Yeah. I can't just make up, right? I can't just go like, oh, hey,
Spencer,
I want to put
Sanders.
My own.
Yeah.
No, well, I would not put Spencer
I know,
Sanders.
I know.
I would. I put Spencer Sanders in the Heisman Trophy match.
You know, your quarterback. That's all.
Okay, I would do. I think Aiden Hutchinson would be second. Right. So. Sheesh. Okay, so the Heisman finalists. I'm going to say. Okay. I'm going to go number four, okay? Number four is going to be C.J. Stroud. Number three is Kenny Pickett. Number two is Aiden Hutchinson. Number one will be Bryce Young.
All right. I actually think that's how it's going to play out, to be honest with you. I think that is what we are going to see on Saturday. All right, Doug. Steph Curry, close to being the leader in three-point shooting in the very near future. Rank your top three-point shooters in NBA history. I know we did one time of like, who do you like, who looks the best in shooting the three?
Yeah,
but actual just marksmen in NBA history, rank your top three.
I'll do, wow, they just didn't shoot enough back in the day.
No, but you got, you know, Larry Legend. You got
Mark Price.
Yeah.
Brent Price. And
Del Curry.
And
Price. Yeah.
Del Curry.
Dale Ellis
Craig
is one of
Hodges.
My favorites. Yeah.
Dale
Craig
Ellis.
Hodges.
Craig Hodges. I'll go Mark Price three, Klay Thompson two, Steph Curry one.
All right. Doug Perdue is number one in the country in college basketball. First time they've ever been number one. I know this may be difficult because you call games, so if you don't want to do this, that's fine.
Nah, but I don't care.
Okay, rank your top three schools you'd like to see win an NCAA hoops title.
Oh, like to see win one. That's a
yeah.
Good one.
Like okay. Good for them.
Yeah, good for you. Number one would be Gonzaga, right? I like Gonzaga to win it. Number two would be Purdue. They've been to the Final Four before. Of course, that's the where John Wooden actually played. There's a statue out front of him, as well as coached. Third team I like to see win it. Like a good for you.
It's Duke, right? No, I'm kidding.
No, we've seen that.
I know.
I will go with.
This is a joke.
I'm going to go with Xavier.
Oh, X marks the spot.
Like, they've been an incredible kind of mid quasi high major here. Now they're in the Big East. I've seen just about everybody else compete. You know, a Butler would be one, but they have no chance this year. I'm going to go with Xavier.
And the Musketeers are flowing. Xavier is your NCAA tournament champions.
And the Musketeers are flying away. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right, coming up next, I'll give you a major sports story that no one seems to be talking about. Right?